Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
I love my sister.
Bless you all. Greetings and welcome. I hope you can hear me. Shalom, shalom to my chat room. I need you tonight. Mother Jennifer is not with me. Her duties and her role, her responsibility is... It relies her elsewhere. I'm connecting my chat room. I'm losing it here and there. But I know Sakina is also active tonight, and she'll be there to back me up. So it's just me. Hallelujah. Sound check on me. Tins, if you hear me, I hope to speak clearly. I hope to keep your attention. May Yah be glorified. Thank you for your time. There's lots of voices that you can be listening to. Lots of shows, lots of podcasts, lots to captivate your spirit and your attention. And so few of you chose to listen to me tonight. Thank you for that. It's very humbling. We have 4 months until Passover. Anybody hear that right? 4 months, Sister Nanette? And then it'll be, what, almost a year for you living around here? Okay, maybe not yet, but He knows the dates. 4 months. So, Pastor, Brother Steve, the calendar, all that, it'll let us know. But continue to do what you're doing, right? Continue to do what you're doing. You're fasting or you're praying, you're seeking the Father, you're striving. Tonight, I wanted to talk. Thank you for your tens. Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Heidi, Sister Mai, Sharon, Aya, Linda, bless you, Carla, Malia. There's so many of y'all. Thank you. And to those that I don't know who you are, through your name or your alias or whatever, or if you're new, welcome. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much. Let's kick it off. No intention. Y'all know me. Hopefully you know me by now. You know, my desire is not to ever talk or over-talk or talk too much. So just to get started and to hopefully edify you in the same sense as if me and you were talking, sitting down to a cup of tea and talking about the Father, you know, testifying or whatever. I don't have any intimidation or any fear or nervousness when Mother's not here, but I do, and I am very used to and accustomed to how her and I flow, and I do always believe that I need her just as much as she believes she needs me when we're together, because it's a conversation. So I will try to captivate your attention by the grace of the Most High Yah with my thoughts and the meditations that I've had before the show, as well as some of the things that I've thought on this week. I want to bring up two key words for tonight. One is the word daughter, in whom we all are, daughters of the Most High Yah. That's my main word, I guess I would say. And another one would be covenant. We're going to talk about, you know, just bringing that, marrying those two together. I guess I'll start, guys, with why. I asked myself before the show, why do you want to talk about being a daughter? You know, why do you want to talk about being a daughter? I don't really know the answer. I had a couple of ideas for the show that were very, you know, like maybe uplifting or encouraging. And it was like I knew within my own spirit that, nope, I can't go there. I'm often looking for that wiggle room to talk about something, you know, super fun or encouraging or whatever, uplifting. And then I'm often met back with, nope, talk about this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, okay. You know, I don't have any kick in me. I don't have, you know, I have the... been doing the show long enough and been walking with the Father long enough that you know his unction, you know what he's how he's directing you, and so you just follow that. And so I hope and I'm thankful to any of you that put your trust in the Father in me in this moment. And so bless you again. Thank you, Nanette says hallelujah. Yes, welcome to another show. We're talking about being a daughter. Why is that important? Maybe because the daughters that we are is misunderstood. Maybe it's just not even meditated on enough, or it hasn't been, you know, quickened to our conscious to think about what it's like to be a daughter. I know a lot of camps and a lot of religious organizations really tout themselves to be daughters of Sarah and daughters of the Most High Yah, but I know that the Most High Yah has called certain daughters, and others are just speaking it with their lips. And so being a daughter, growing up in the homes that we grew up in, you know that our homes were all very different, whether some were maybe impoverished or poor, some perhaps wealthy or rich, culturally very different, language barriers, communications, very different from one state to the next, from one country to the next. The way that we are molded in our homes as daughters in our families is very, very different. Now that we come to knowledge of the Most High Yah, understanding his love for you as a daughter is going to be based upon the hurt and the rejection and your previous experiences as a daughter in your family. And so Yah is fully aware of how much healing that his daughters need and how much freedom and how much recovery that we need, how much love that we need. And he's fully able to produce that in our lives but most importantly, setting ourselves apart and stepping away from all the distractions, all the people, all the objects, all the things in the way of Him, that's our job. And so, first, my attention was drawn to how many times daughters was written. I understand how Satan works to the measure that I've been given. I understand that our shepherd has mentioned the importance of sons being written about in his teachings, and how the lineage of the priests were written about, or the lineage of the sons were written about, because men, or great men and seed, was produced through the lineage and the line of perhaps the priesthood or the Messiah or the king's rule, right? So you have that replication throughout our book of the seed and the son and the seed and the son. But, of course, in his teaching, he's not taking away from the importance of daughters, right? It's just a different... So I know that Satan can hurt or injure a weak-hearted woman or a weak-hearted daughter. And what does Satan seek to do? He seeks to accuse the Most High of rejecting you because of your previous rejection throughout your life, and because Satan was chiefly first rejected. I hope that I'm speaking slow enough, hallelujah, because y'all know I'm by myself. I'm by myself, so I got to make sense of myself tonight, because Mother Jennifer's not here to make sense with me. Shout out to you, Mother Jennifer, to Bama, to the men, to the women, everyone who is building up these communities, you know, striving and pressing with all we know how. Hallelujah. In Genesis 9, Yah had spoken to Noah. Now imagine, obviously, Noah having this communication with the Most High from his inner being and being connected to the Most High. He heard and knew that Yah was giving him a blessing. He said he would bless Noah and his sons. So if Yah said to Noah, I'm going to bless you and your sons, you are going to be fruitful and multiply, then that encompasses women as well. Why are we going to be blessed? Why are we going to be fruitful and multiply? Because Noah and his sons were blessed. So the women were blessed because the men were blessed by Yah. Yah had said to Noah that I will establish my covenant with you. And then he repeated it again to him, I will establish my covenant with you. That's a very serious term for our Creator, because his words are his whole being. It's his nature, his character, his words. He doesn't speak a word in vain. Neither does it return to him void or without fulfillment. And so after he says, I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and your sons, he also then said, I will remember my covenant. And then he said, this is the token of my covenant. So I establish it, then I'm going to remember it, and then I'm going to give you a token or a promise of my covenant. Okay, so he held himself to it, and he said that I will remember the everlasting covenant between myself and every living creature of all flesh. Does that include daughters? Yes. That he blessed Noah and his sons and said that he would remember the everlasting covenant between himself and every living creature of all flesh. And I thank the Father for the blessings that are not seen and not acknowledged. And oftentimes, I think we can reflect on being a daughter for a moment and some of the characteristics, because a daughter is a term that's intended to be childlike. You know, it's not saying grown woman, lady, wife, right? It's daughter. It's daughter. And a daughter, like I said, is a child. So that means I am. I'm a child to the Father, you know, and you are as well. And a child or a daughter is always learning and always growing and continually observing. And you consider someone, you know, if Mother Jennifer was with me tonight, I would continually ask her, what is Mariah like? You know, for those of you mothers who have daughters, you know by experience more than I can know because you have daughters. It gives you an experience that I would subject myself to or submit myself to listening to your experience because I don't have that. I have the love for them and the understanding to my measure, but I don't have a daughter. So I have to consider myself, and then I have other daughters, not just young, but age or older or my age, women. I have them in my life that I can learn and see a daughter's mannerisms. I can observe a woman's characteristics and our childlike mind. So through observation of one another, we're continually growing. Through observing me, you may be provoked to jealousy to want something that I have, or you may see something that will give you a caution or a red flag, just using myself for an example, it could be anyone, a caution or a red flag that says, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be like. So you're continually sorting through your mind as a daughter of who to be. And I think if we settle and rest ourselves in who we are, we'll stop searching. So there's a trust and a yielding to the Father that we're void of. But we're going to get to it. It's going to make sense. Hopefully bring it full circle tonight. So a daughter, myself, is also childlike in her ignorance, meaning there are simply things that you don't know, that I don't know. But there's never a feeling of I don't know until correction comes. You know, when correction comes, oh, then there's another way presented to your mind that shows you how childlike you are, that you still need to be taught. And then there's a selfishness also to human nature, but also daughters. And we can say sons as well. I'm a mother of sons, but to daughters, there's a selfishness in us, right? There is a desire to have our will. And then there's a convinced mindset that a daughter could have that she's completely right. You know, even if she's completely wrong, she still can be convinced that she's completely right, right? And stand for her opinion or her beliefs because of really strong feelings. So that means she can be, I can be, we can be deceived, right? We can be deceived. Now, I know you know these things, but I think listening to them will help you engage into some of the, I guess, just the conversation that I'm having with you, as well as some of the verses that I will share. Because a daughter can be hurt. I can be hurt. We can be hurt. And in that hurt, it can be a perception of pain, or it can sincerely be a reality. And we have to yield to our Father, and a daughter does that. She yields to her Father when she don't understand. She yields to her Father because of her full trust in Him. And she yields to her Father in a completely different way than she would her mother, right? Her Father is an example of great strength, as if He would never go anywhere. He will always be. And He's always right, you know? And so for a true daughter, she would also know how to wait or be taught how to wait, wait patiently upon the thing that she desires. Maybe she wants a bike. Maybe she wants an answer. Maybe I want deliverance. Maybe I want freedom. Maybe we're all, as daughters, we're waiting, right? But I want to introduce another idea for the show tonight in our conversation, and please, you know, chat room, like I said, I need you if you get any, questions, ideas, just something to for me to bounce back off of. You know, I can read. I can read, Sakina can read, or I can read it and might not say it out loud on the show too, but I got it right in front of me. I got the chat room open. Never being satisfied. Never being satisfied. That was the focus, honestly, of the show. Before the term or the word daughter was really, and that's got a whole nother story of why I wanted to talk about daughter, but I wanted to tie them together, right? So never being satisfied is so super important to talk about because a lot of times you may say in your walk that, you know, you just need to be content. You know, that you're striving to be content. But the other half of that is repenting for not being satisfied. Now, if the Heavenly Father makes an everlasting covenant with me, and he has, and he's made a covenant with you, and you see that, he's remembering his covenant with you, and you see that he is even making a token of his covenant, or basically holding those promises by continually being your Elohim, if he's making that everlasting covenant, then should I not be satisfied? But the nature of sinful flesh, or possibly just nature of a woman or nature of a daughter, is struggling with her satisfaction. Because, let's go to this. Proverbs 27:20 says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. And I looked up some of these verses. I really only had this one verse on my heart with never being satisfied. It's in Ezekiel 16. But there were a few more that I could just put in my conversation. And so Ezekiel 16:28, right? The eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. That is a characteristic of a daughter. Let's just say that. Can't be satisfied. Why? Why can't we be satisfied? Let's go to Ezekiel 16:28. Okay, let me pull up my KJV. I use eSword. It's called the Sword of the Lord with an Electronic Edge. It was years ago. I've told y'all that before. Years ago we used eSwords right in front of me, my computer. And we have it on our phones as well. I'm sure you guys got a ton of different Bible apps, but I enjoy it, at least for computer study. All right, let's go there. Ezekiel, roll with me while I click these buttons. I didn't know how it would come together. I still don't know how it's going to come together. So help me, Father. Ezekiel 20. 28. All right. It says, you have played the whore. Okay? So the prophet is talking to the people, referring to a woman. You played the whore. Meaning, you've loved something or someone more than me. That's your guilt. That's playing the whore. That's committing adultery. You've loved something or someone more than me. Can we say we've done that? Can you say you've done that? Can you say that you're still seeking something more than him? That's a idolatrous heart. And bless his holy name if you're able to, you know, be quickened to the understanding within your own heart of your idolatry. So it says you played the whore with the Assyrians. And looking up the Assyrians was really vague. You know, it could be a nation, a group of people, but also it could just be a son. That was another translation. It could represent, you know, a man. Do you love your man more than the Most High? Do you love something or someone more than the Most High? It says here, because you were unsatiable. That means you failed to be sufficient or you were not satisfied. What were you not satisfied with? The Elohim, the Most High. That's why he would say to the people, you played the whore. You weren't satisfied with your Creator. You played the whore. You committed adultery. And it says, the end of that verse, yet again, you could not be satisfied. Most of us saying, like, you by nature, you can't be satisfied. I can give unto you what you ask of me, but it would not be enough because I know you. And then in verse 29, Ezekiel 16, you multiply your fornication in the land of Canaan. Now this is where I got to tell a fun story. You multiply, meaning you did more fornicating, committing adultery, loving things, someone or something more than me in the land of Canaan. So let's think about this for a second. We know, I make up the biblical geography that I teach the students. I don't have a curriculum. I create it. So we started in Cairo, Egypt. And we said, let's say because it doesn't, when our people left out of Egypt, it doesn't say where in Egypt. All right, so we took a moment, we studied Cairo briefly, and we just, they know that biblically we don't know where the people started. Egypt, somewhere. Okay, so we just, hypothetically, we're going to start in Cairo. And we're going to travel by foot to Mount Sinai. Remember, I'm talking about Ezekiel 16, verse 29. You multiplied your fornication in the land of Canaan. So where are we going to go? So in biblical geography, we go from Cairo, Egypt to Mount Sinai. That's about 195 miles. And we're walking. Okay? And Moses dies on a place called Mount Nebo. He's 120 years old. He receives the law. He talks to the people. So we take our time. We spend a few weeks on that. We spend a few weeks on learning the law and the commandments and the things that we got from Moshe on Mount Nebo. I'm sorry, on Mount Sinai. But he died on Mount Nebo. Okay? So then we got about another, let's say, 105 miles until we reach the land of Canaan. Let's just say if that's, you know, correct. I'm not from there. I'm basing my knowledge off of, you know, study, search, maps, you know, questions, Googles, these things that I'm looking up, digging into. So let's say I'm correct. If I'm wrong, forgive me out there. But it's somewhere around 482 kilometers, 300 miles. So we're going to go from where he took us in Egypt as a people, which all of us have come out of in a sense of changing where we were from and then transforming ourselves into, you know, where we are now, months, years, whatever it takes. This transformation. So we've left out of, all right, you see the similitude, and then we got to a different place. So in Ezekiel 16:29, you multiplied your fornication in the land of Canaan. So I brought you from Egypt and I set you apart and I gave you my laws when you stopped at Mount Sinai and Moshe talked to you. I talked to him face to face. I put boundaries around the mountain so you wouldn't come to it. So I could pour my law right into this man. Speak face-to-face to this man. When this man communicates to you, it's my love to you. And by the time you've reached the land of Canaan, you multiplied your fornication. So through all the journey of our people, through lands, walking, marching, we got a 40-year process before we ever get to the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, which we know Moshe didn't enter into. But bringing this back to verse 29, when it says you multiplied your fornication in the land of Canaan all the way to Chaldean. Some say Chaldean, but it's a place, basically, southern Iraq. Now we went from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place, and we're still not satisfied. Verse 29, yet you weren't satisfied. And the Most High says, okay, can anyone still hear me? Because check this out. Computer goes out. Let me text. Sakina, can you hear me? I had difficulties with the computer. I have no computer, and perhaps I have voice still. 10 on you, she said. That's right now, right? I have no timestamp. Yes, thank you, Ladaya. I had problems with the computer when I got here. Thank you, Granny Diane. She said, I can hear you. Thank you, Ladaya. Thank you, Sakina, and everyone else. Holly, I'm going to keep talking. I'm staring at a screen that's not on. Bless you, Mother Carol. Thank you, Zayana. I need that, y'all. All right, so it says his next statement. I'm just keep talking because, hey, I guess if I have problems and the computer's still black, I won't be able to see you guys' comments throughout the night. I won't stay forever before you guys. I'll just be able to end because I'm on a phone. It's a Polycom. It's like a phone mic. And so I'll be able to just end the show. Praise y'all. The very next verse, or the next statement that he said, let me bring my thoughts back, right? It says, thank you, Sakina, she'll end it for me. Verse 29, you multiplied your fornication in the land of Canaan all the way unto Chaldea, and yet you weren't satisfied. So he said to the people, how weak is your heart seeing that you do these things? And I pondered on that weakness, or I pondered on the weakness of a woman's heart, my heart, a woman's heart that would want more, you know. There's a process of waiting for all things with the Father. whether it's deliverance, whether it's answers, whether it's understanding, the process of waiting on your father hasn't changed from the time that you were a child in your father's house when you were waiting to, maybe you were waiting to get out because you had no love for him, you know, but maybe you were waiting for that bike or maybe you were waiting to get up off the couch because he had corrected you, right? That waiting, even as a child of the king, as a daughter of the father, is still always going to be a part of your transformation and your journey. And so during that waiting process, how satisfied are you? You know, how weak is your heart? How wavering are you while you are waiting? Because he says here, how weak is your heart, seeing that you do these things. You leave me and you love something in somebody else. You play the whore. You're unsatiable. You're not satisfied. How weak is your heart? That was a real talk that he had. So the expectation, you know, you wouldn't say to a child who's waiting, I don't know, 2 hours to eat dinner, how weak is your heart? But you could say it to a woman who is continually questioning the father and nothing's being good enough. See, our developmental stages from, you know, a small child all the way up to a woman, there's expectancies and maturities. I hope I'm not getting too far off. This is where I would go. Mother Carol, what do you say? Or Mother Jennifer, what do you say? But let's talk about not being satisfied for a second. And you might have a list in your mind, or maybe you don't. Maybe it would take you getting off the show and then, like, really thinking. But to create that list of not being satisfied, it could be anything. Most of the time, it's going to be due to your feelings in your mind that you're not satisfied. So you might say, I need more money, or I need a man, or I want a child. I don't have one. I want more children. I only have one. Or I want more children. I only have whatever. I want more sex. I want more help with my children. I want deliverance. And I need understanding. I want understanding of how to think. I want understanding of how to fight. I want this book. I need to order. I need another dress. I need a car. I don't have one. I need some gas. So the needs, from a woman's perspective, especially if you ponder all of our needs, those listening and mine included, and you ponder all those needs at one time, it's a lot to fulfill from a father's perspective, who is a provider. But all the things that I just listed are very fleshy, you know? They are pertaining to this life, earthly things, carnal things. And that's that carnal enmity that we have in our hearts and in our minds towards the Father. Because who is wanting more of Him? You know, can you be content and satisfied when others have more? When more is presented to you? Can you seek Yah and thirst for Him in a time of what appears to be manifested plenty? Like, man, I got what I need. You know, got this, got that. Are you thirsty? Are you filled? Are you full? David talked about that, you know. Don't give me too much that I deny you. But in our society, the plenty that's been given to us has overstimulated our feelings. And it's given us attachments for people and objects that are beyond what our flesh should have been yielded to. You know, I've watched Sister Sharon in Africa go fetch her own water or grind peanuts to make peanut butter and do things that I've been way too overstimulated, Sister Sharon. I've never ate peanut butter that wasn't in a jar with a lid sealed by another man's factory. You know? So what I mean by being given plenty in our land of captivity is really, really taking away our satisfaction of the Father. So it's something you have to really start to crave and long for because your time is consumed. You know? You don't have needs. for a majority of a lot of people. It's the poor that seek him. It's the poor that either they don't, you know, we don't got the money, or you don't got the, I don't know, the poor have the desperation. The poor have the gospel preached to them. You know? So you should have a need. Hallelujah. Let me see what I can think on next. What to say, Father? Being his daughter is important, and it's to be considered, you know, in your mind, because it's part of your healing. It's truly part of your healing. If I say that I'm a daughter, then I can embrace the healing process of what that relationship will bring. If I don't ponder it, if I don't think about it, or if I just look at my family from the outside, like these women are Yah's daughters. He's doing this for her, her, and her. You know, she's got all her needs met, and I'm lacking. You know, she's whatever the comparison might happen. Daughters do that too in their minds, right? She got a new dress. I'm like, why didn't I get a new dress? You know, regardless of age, that childlike mentality. But if I embrace this truth that I'm a daughter, then I can embrace the covenant that says, you'll be a father unto me, because you promised it, that you will be a father unto the sons and the daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. You said that. And there's a lot of promises to show you the value of daughters, because if you just think about, let's say, let me bring back in Pastor's words and his strong speech, where he can uplift and minister to men and to sons to grab their attention and to put them in their rightful place, to really, you know, make an impact into their lives, to elevate them where they need to be. And then whereas we have a place that comes down, they have a place that goes up, right? So we need to come down to our humility and our listening. We need to bow our neck. We need to bow our ear. And so when he's speaking strength and he's speaking it to men and to sons, here comes Satan to try to take away the love and the covenant agreement that the father has for his daughters from the beginning. When Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, according to Isaiah 4, he will have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst of the daughters of Zion. By what? By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. It's one of my favorite verses, because I believe in his love so much that it is doing what it's supposed to do. It is washing away the filth of us. And that washing is proof of being a daughter. And another reflection in 2 Chronicles, they spoke of the genealogy. I mean, all throughout the word there was reference to, and they beget sons and daughters, and he begets sons and daughters, and he begets sons and daughters, and he begets sons and daughters, right? So the pastor says, well, the daughters aren't mentioned, you know? It's the truth. What he's saying is the truth, but I know Satan. He will come and try to steal your value, right? So why aren't daughters mentioned? Well, he spoke the truth that a woman is mentioned when she brings forth a righteous man or a righteous son. She's mentioned. Her name is mentioned. It's purposeful that she be known, right? There were wicked queens written about. There were prophetesses written about. So there are women and women's names in the word. Ruth and Naomi, they were written in there for their love and their commitment, but also for the law to be fulfilled. Beautiful love covenant, right? But you'll see over and over, they beget sons and daughters, beget sons and daughters. So there's a genealogy record that you see. It's not just as Satan would want you to have it in rejection's mind, that are just sons, 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 sons. Now there's a mention of, you know, hundreds of times, not hundreds of times, that's exaggeration, but many, many times, you beget sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons and daughters. Okay? And so in 2 Chronicles, when the genealogy was written about the little ones, the wives, the sons, and the daughters, it said throughout all the congregation, in their set offices, they sanctified themselves and made themselves holy. And so that was a reference to little ones, wives, sons, daughters, daughters, daughters. They made themselves holy. That was an action that they were doing, 2 Chronicles 31:18. That's the action that we are doing. If you are a daughter of the Most High Yah, your repentance is meeting up with his covenant agreement for you. Daughters were written about in Psalms where it said king's daughters were amongst the most honorable women. There were honorable women. I don't, you know, this comes to my mind right now, but I never want to negate, you know, I have a teacher, Pastor Charles Dowd has been my teacher for many years. He's been a pastor and a shepherd to me and a helper of my faith, right? My computer screen is just going flashing, black, blue, different pictures going out. I don't know, Granny, maybe it's the screen, but I'm glad you can hear my voice through this little triangle microphone here because the show would have been gone long ago. But, when our shepherd is mentioning, when he's speaking, it's important for me to back that up. It's important for Mother Jennifer to back that up. It's important for you to back it up, you know, to believe it, to dig into it. And so when I speak this way, I'm not contradicting him. I'm supporting him in the sense of maybe what he didn't say, you know, because I know his heart. And I know his love. Let me say that. I don't know his heart, but I know his love. And back to my conversation here, though. Well, the psalmist David had said to let the daughters of Judah be glad because of judgments. Psalms 48:11. Let the daughters be glad because of judgments and let them rejoice because of judgments. And I thought that was, and this is just personal for me, but I thought it was beautiful that David would make that statement for the women and the daughters of Judah to be glad and to rejoice because he knows we're emotional creatures. That's what we do. Not that a man doesn't rejoice. They'll praise, you know, maybe even more than you do. But in the sense of rejoicing and being delighted and being glad, we should be that way because of judgments. Because we do, as a daughter of Yah, sincerely seek justice. And another promise from David was that the daughters would be as cornerstones polished in a palace. Psalms 144:12. Be as daughters, be as cornerstones. You know how strong a cornerstone is. That's a fun project to look behind. Polished in a palace. And we know Proverbs 31, that many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Was that one woman in reference in that generation or in that time or just even known to be written about, that she excelled them all, maybe, of course, because of her capability and her ability, but we must give all glory to the Father for what she did. She did not do it unto herself, you know. But Isaiah also said, lift up your eyes and look, gather yourself together and come and see that the sons will come from far and the daughters will be at their side. There's a prophecy that they would come together. You know, the Most High Yah is drawing us both, so it's not, we're not such a patriarchal ministry as such a male-dominated ministry that there's no love for women. You know, when you hear the men and their strength and their speech, and rightfully so, I hope and pray that you're able to gain your strength and your confidence in your Creator, in your position, in your role with the Father, that you're not damaged by the words, you know, because according to your feelings, you know. And there was even references from the Father's heart to his people that you would take wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to their husbands, that they would bear many sons and daughters and be increased and not diminished. And he had given restrictions upon who you would take a daughter from, you know, who you would take a son for or give a daughter to a son. Like there was a care and a concern from the Father's heart, just like it would be from your husband's heart when it's time for their daughter to be married. That care and compassion that father has would be very guarded and protected. And sometimes our ministry represents that protection in a way that might be misunderstood or misrepresented. but to the core and the nucleus of those men that have a love and a respect for women or for daughters. They don't just want to give them to anyone, right? Simply because of their love and their care for the rest of your life, right? Just as your husband would do. And just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Yah, Lord, sorry, calling him Lord, whose daughters we are, as unto Sarah, right? Being able to submit herself and yield herself to someone else's desires, that's calling him master, you know, that I will submit my life unto you. And the promises in Acts that he would pour out his spirit, which we got a teaching about even on Shabbat, you know, that it would come to pass in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Has he poured out his spirit? Sure he has. We have the evidence of that. Have we seen the completion of the latter day power? No. No way, right? We will and can walk in such great love and obedience that the power will always rise up and be strengthened. That's my hope. But he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is that just men? Just sons? No, and daughters. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, daughters will prophesy. That's the word. Okay, so there's a love for the father, for women and daughters. It's just in their rightful place. Right? Hope this is helping y'all. I can't see the chat. I'm going to keep telling y'all I can't see the chat. But let's go back to negative nature for a second. Let's reflect on what that reference to a child is for each of us. There's an account in 2 Samuel that says Saul and Jonathan were very lovely and pleasant in the lives of the people, and that they're, even in their death they weren't divided. But in 2 Samuel 1:24, the very next verse, that was 1:23 in reference to Saul and Jonathan, just using that, you know, camaraderie and companionship that those two men had for each other. Then it says in the very next verse, you daughters of Israel wept over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights and who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Like, that shows how easy we fall for love. Like, we wept over Saul, who clothed us with scarlet and other delights. Like, if you give a daughter what she wants, she's going to love you. You know, if you gift her what she wants, she's going to love you. Gifts divert judgment, right? And what do? We provoked the Most High to jealousy with our strange gods, similar to how we wept over Saul, a wicked man, right? A man whose heart left the Father because we wanted things. Isn't that our list? We need more things. Why? Everybody else has got something more. Or I see, what is Yah doing? He's tempting us with these other nations, just like he said he was. You know, can you be tempted by other nations, by all the things that they have? The stores, the merchandising that's happening in the earth, can you see that and be content with what you have? Can you really turn off all your lust? I don't know, just a question. Something to consider, because we provoked the Most High to jealousy with our strange gods, and it says, the word says that they sacrificed unto devils. Of the rock that begot them, they were not mindful. They didn't have it. They weren't satisfied. Remember that. They weren't satisfied. You're not giving me what I want, Most High, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And what actually happens is when you don't get an answer, I guarantee you're going to have to go to somebody to ask them, because you don't have a mind to wait by nature. So if I'm waiting on the Most High for deliverance, can I really wait? Or I got to go running and ask. If I'm waiting for freedom, can I wait? Or do I got to seek Google? You know, is Google my go-to and my immediate, you know, like Pastor mentioned, leaning on the arm of the flesh, which the Most High Yah says would be a curse upon you? If I lean to the arm of the flesh, if I run to that ER, if I run to that Advil and that Tylenol, if I run to that pain pill, and I'm not negating those purposeful things in your life, guys, women, sisters, seriously. All right, take it in context, but can we be mindful of the rock that begat us? Can we think on him first? Can we seek him first? Can we seek him while we're going through? Can we be satisfied while waiting? If he put something on you for a year, 2 years, 3 years, can you bear it when he knows your ends and his thoughts towards you? And it says that Yah saw what they had done in Deuteronomy 32, and he abhorred it. He abhorred the people and what they were doing because his sons and his daughters were being provoked to continue to do the same things. So there was a care, once again, for the daughters. He said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end will be. They are very forward generation children with no faith. Children with no faith. How do you measure your faith? How do you measure your faith? This, I glorify the Father for being a covenant keeper to my life, because your faith is always continually measured by your waiting and his tokens of promise, which is the things that come to pass in front of you that happen. And he, as a father, builds your faith in such a unique way. He's building mine while he's building Granny Barb's. He's building Granny Barb's while he's building Mother Carol's. He's building Mother Carol's while he's building Granny Diane's. While he's building Zion's, while he's building Nanette's. Right? He's really a beautiful father. And he builds your faith by small things, big things, long waits, small waits. Like, he does it in such a way that the requirement never leaves you to produce the faith. But his covenant agreement never leaves him to fulfill. Like, I don't have to just have faith. He also has to meet my faith. Like, that's his agreement, you know? And there was another time in Ezra where the Most High Yah's heart was really expressed for his love for the daughters, because it was once again a time where they had the... It was the priest and the Levites, I think it was, and the people of Israel come running, or the princes. Yeah, the princes come running to Ezra, right, Ezra 9. They come running up to him, and they say, you know, hey, the priests, the Levites, the people, they haven't separated themselves from the people of the lands. Like, they're still doing these abominations. You still look like them, sound like them, want to be like them, shop like them. You're not setting yourself apart. You're not doing anything different. These people, the Israelites, are still doing this, and they're bringing this burden to Ezra, right? We don't got, Ezra ain't got the phone for you to text him and let him know. You know, he don't got the Facebook post so you can let him know. He don't got the pictures that he could just, you know, be floored. Like, what? The people are not separating themselves from the Canaanites and the Hittites and Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites. They're not, what? Right? These people had to come to him and let him know. But what did they do? What did they tell Ezra? They're like, Ezra, look, they have taken the daughters for themselves. And for their sons, they took our daughters. They took our daughters. They gave them for their own sons so that the holy seed would be mingled. You took our women. You took our women. You took the women that are within our tribe, the beautiful, holy, set apart, keeping our customs. You took them. And when he heard it, he rent his garment. That's what it says. He literally plucked out the hair on his head. You can imagine being set apart like Ezra was, living a life of set apartness. How often was their conversation? I don't know. How many people did he live around? I don't know. But it definitely wasn't life as we know it. The go, go, hurry, hurry. The flashing lights, the highways, the neon signs. Everything's got to get done. I got my whole week planned. Like, no, this is a set apart man's mind was completely different. And you bring this burden and I pluck out my hair on my head and I'm truly, it says he was astonished. He sat down in the ground astonished. You mean to tell me that they really took our daughters? Like, this mattered. It mattered. And I say to you, what matters to you? You know, what matters to you? Is there a longing for holiness so much that it's a burden and an agony to you? Or are we just cool? We chill? We good? Man, I came out. Oh, I changed my skirt. All glory to the Most High. Like, I don't fear wearing my head cover no more or nothing. Like, how serious are we taking this conversion, this transformation? And when they had commanded, or like this basically what happens is Ezra now is going to put a command. Like, he's going to hear it, know it, see it. He's hearing it from the princes, basically, so he knows he's not hearing a lie. And then he puts a command on all the servants, and the prophets stand up, and they go, hey, man, this is an unclean land with filthiness. This is abominations. It's filled one end to the other. So in verse 12 in Ezra 9, he says, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons. Don't do it. He's making a command. Like, no. Why am I making a command not to do it? Because you're doing it. You're doing it. And then he says, give not your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters. We don't want these women. Are you kidding me? Do you hear what the women talk like in the world? You ever clicked on a video and just tried to endure it? How close are you to those women? Like, how closely associated are you with the sound of those women? There is no spirit of wisdom. See, there's a lot of voices in the earth. There's a lot of voices, millions of women doing videos, millions of women doing podcasts, millions of women talking, men too. There's only one spirit of wisdom. There's only one. And that spirit of wisdom says the same thing, whoever she decides to speak out of, according to the righteousness of that heart and that vessel. And who do you represent in the earth? You know, how closely associated are you with coming and going in and out of these Gentile facilities, their ways? How comfortable does it make you to be surrounded by the other nations? It's a faulty trust, you know. And he says, don't seek their peace and don't seek their wealth. This is Ezra's command, that we would not trade children and that we would not seek their peace or their wealth. Do you know how much peace there is in just heading out there, getting an apartment, and getting a job? No, you would say it's tormenting because you got a neighbor that smokes. You know, you got the other, I don't know, somebody always stealing your parking spot. You know, but you got a paycheck every 2 weeks. You got the clothes. You might not be satisfied, but I'm telling you, there's a peace and a wealth out there that we can partake in that really is not our Elohim. And it can make you feel and deceive like, Yah's with us. Yah's with me. He said, eat the good of this land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. So the land that he was a part of, Ezra saying, this is for our children. This is their inheritance. This is what we're doing for them and laying up for them. Not that. Not that. Hallelujah. If I had a screen, look, I'm looking at this beautiful ocean view. Waves, rocks, an oasis, really. Daughter Judith had said to me, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? And I quickly said, I quickly said this because this was my heart. I was not premeditating it. I had not thought on it. I don't want to go somewhere, none of that. I was like, an island. And she said, really? My dad said the same thing. That's Brother Scott, right? Hallelujah, Brother Scott. We're going where the Father is. I'm not going to the crowds. You know, I'm not going to the heathen. I'm going to an island. Me and y'all, me and my family, whoever, take the saints with me. Whatever. She didn't give me all the stipulations. All right, but when you live set apart as we do, it's truly set apart. You can choose to be as much of the world as you want, right here, even at Straightway, at the Hub. I can represent as much of the world as I want, according, of course, to my husband's regulations and pastor's limitations. But I'm just painting this for you, that you still got to choose every day who you're going to be and who you're going to serve. Yah said to Isaiah that the daughters of Zion are what? Haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. Do you know how many sisters actually praise because they want to be looked at? Now that comment would get me stoned or hated, or how do you know that, Ashley? Because I know rejection. That's what rejection does. Are you really connected to the Father when you're praising? I mean, truly, could you tell the Father in a repentant heart that you're not? Do you have the humility to say that you're not? Daughters of Zion, he said it, walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, mincing as they go, you know, bouncing the hips from side to side, making a tinkling with their feet. Hey, it doesn't bother me if you do that. I don't have my eye on anyone. I have too much fear of Yah to be watching anyone, and that's the truth. You might have to literally tell me something happened, because I missed it. Sometimes when you grow in maturity and discernment, you lose a lot of the flesh, and you walk in the spirit. You don't see things. people in the flesh believe that those walking in the spirit see everything. It's like, no, really. Y'all got to quicken your attention to it because things are just turned off. Like, no, I got too much love for the people. I'm not looking for the negativity. So I don't know who's walking like this. Right? Yah does. Yah does. That's the potential of a daughter, to walk that way. But what Yah said, he would smite her with a scab on the crown of her head. There's only one time that Jesus said the word daughters that I'm aware of, right? Or that I can, yeah, I think so. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, weep for yourselves, and weep for your children. You know, are we able to do that? Are we able to weep? I'm telling you, I do. I weep. I cry so much. If you knock on my door, I'm probably crying, or my eyes are swollen from crying. That makes no sense in a time of lush plenty and abundance, right? It makes no sense. Why is anyone mourning? All right? You got everything. Yah's blessing us, isn't he? It's a time of rejoicing. Yes, it is. My tears don't take away the joy, the laughter, right? But we're in a sad state. And if the Most High Yah could just give you a measure of the agony of the mourning women that he calls forth to pray, you'd drop to your face. And you sure wouldn't walk about with wanton eyes and a haughty neck. You would bow it. And that's the truth. If we truly, truly knew him. So there's one more reflection. The good, I guess I can say the good. There's a lot of good tonight, but to wrap up my thoughts, there were times in the Word where David expressed being satisfied. It's really, David and Isaiah was all that I could find, and maybe you will if you ever, you know, want to dive into being satisfied. Why do I say that it matters? Is because what Yah has done for you isn't enough, you know? Is it enough? Because Satan tries to come and take that satisfaction away and leave us void and empty. Like he's done nothing. Like nobody loves. Like you're all alone. You know, or whatever the battle might bring. But David said, my soul shall be satisfied. And my mouth will praise with joyful lips. And he said, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house. And I consider the Father's heart, like I want to be satisfied, and I'm sorry that I'm not, you know, when I'm not. And I'm aware of when I'm not. That's how I talk to him. Man, some of you given beauty and it's not enough. Some of you been given money and it's not enough. You know, some of you been given a great man, he's not enough. He's not enough. You don't consider the widow. You don't consider the woman without child. Or the woman with children and no head. Whatever. You don't consider no one else. It's just not satisfied. And that's the reflection that we have to look at. My guys, ladies, sisters, how do I talk this way? Because I am so wretched. How do I talk this way? Because I live in repentance. Even if you see me mess up, I don't mean that. I don't mean that I'm flawless at all whatsoever, right? Like, oh, she's gotten somewhere and she's arrived. Y'all know me. No, we are so messed up. I'm so messed up. I can't get low enough. I cannot get low enough, Father. David said, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. That's something to think about. Because you can, you know, express satisfaction with your lips, but yet your heart is far from that. You know, it's bitter or dark and cold. So we have to be very honest with ourselves. David said that a good man is satisfied with himself. And that's something definitely to think about as a daughter. Because as a daughter, how many people have came into your life from your father, your sisters, your siblings, your friends, the public school, everything that we experienced, the molester, the abuser, that took away our satisfaction with ourselves. That took away, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He came and took a little piece of me when I was there and there and there and when I was that age and that age and that age. So I got to talk to y'all about that. because now I'm holding the Father accountable in my heart for what these people have taken from me, what Satan has taken from me, when his intention and his covenant from the beginning is to restore it back unto me, because he calls me his daughter. I'm almost finished, but in Psalms and Proverbs, there's just a few times that satisfied is mentioned, and the meek shall eat and be satisfied. That's something to think about, you know, eating and being satisfied, you know, the food that you're given, the diet that you're given, the, you know, every community eats a little different. It doesn't matter if it's according to how the people desire it or according to finances or whatever. Every community is going to bring a different challenge to certain men or women's heart. You're going to have those that are content. You're going to have those that are tempted to murmur. That's human nature. Whereas food might be someone's weakness, and the lack of satisfaction that they have for it is their weakness. Yours might be somewhere else. You know, that's what community does. It brings about the heart. But the meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise Yahweh that seek Yahweh. And Isaiah said, as for me, I will behold your face, Yah, in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I wake up with thy likeness. I'm going to say it again. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied when I wake up with your likeness. And I think that's a beautiful, once again, covenant agreement. Who is like unto Yah in all the earth but his sons and daughters? That's it. When you know no man after the flesh, you're going to find something wrong with each of us. There's nothing like the Father. Okay? But we're talking about when you actually wake up with a mind to get things right and to serve the Father, to do right, to humble yourself. I always say that the Messiah, the Father, is a Father to the humble. He's an Elohim of the humble. Can you imagine that? Now, if he's an Elohim to the humble, and I'm finishing up my thoughts, y'all. I appreciate everyone who's stuck with me. I can't see this screen. But if he's an Elohim to the humble, that means your humility will support your Father's nature. And your lack of it will show you're a child of pride. So he's an Elohim to those who deny themselves. He's an Elohim to those who fast or mourn or lament. He's an Elohim to daughters and to women that he calls forth to fast or to pray or to lament. Even when it seemingly looks fine, everything's going great, but he laid a burden upon you and your prayer closet to lift up Israel. He's an Elohim to those who seek his way, rejoicing in him even though it's purging you by fire. I'm satisfied with your purging, Father. I don't need the list of needs met, when right now your will is just to purge. He is the only satisfaction. Not any other God, not anything that pulls your attention, not any object, not any person that you're given more to than him. That's all we got to think. Knowing all of our needs are applied according to his riches and glory. So if I know I'm a daughter, then I know I'm going to receive deliverance and healing and freedom. And I know that my Father is going to break all bondage. And I know that I'm going to grow in his fear. And I know that I'm going to grow in hearing his communication. And I know that in my Father's house, there are many daughters. And that he loves them all. That I'm not to compare myself, but to support one another. And to rejoice when others rejoice. And at times that means to get my mind off of myself and just know that my needs will be met. So being his daughter, is it important? Is it considered? Is it important? Is it considered? I got to tell y'all, for years, it wasn't even considered from me. Why was it not considered from me, though? Right? I can only come from experience to even share this to you guys, and you go, okay, now I'm going to consider it, right? But maybe that's what some of your hearts are doing. Maybe some of you are already, depending on your background, depending on your upbringing with your father, mother, siblings, your house as a daughter, then that's probably how you just continue to transform into your creator's house. But for me, a broken home and a broken past, who's thinking about being a daughter? Me. I'm not. I'm just, I'm running this race like surely I'm going to be able to produce something that's going to be an end. Like, if you don't get me up out of here, like, maybe I can do enough to please you. You know, nobody's thinking that, man, a daughter's loved from the beginning. Like, perfect in every state she's in her wants and her needs and her brokenness and her total dependency on the Creator. She's perfect. You know? What are we not perfect to, though? Each other. And in comes all the division that takes us away from the Father's heart. That's not his heart. We misrepresent him. I said that to a visitor we had one time. We had a visitor come here that has been gone for many years, used to live on the land. And I had asked my husband permission to communicate when I got to see him again. And we conversated, of course, about what I, you know, desired to say or, you know, him giving me what to or not to, just kind of directing the conversation, you know, and keeping it mature. But I did, out of my own sincere love, I just wanted to apologize for anyone who's misrepresented the Father's love. That's all I wanted to say, and I mean that. And that's all I said. That's all I said. I really mean that. Do you know how many people we can push away and how many stumbling blocks we can set before others not being gentle and tender as a daughter should be? Do you know how many people that I set stumbling blocks in front of because I walked around masculine thinking I needed to be like Pastor Dal for however many years? I didn't know. I didn't know. Just because he's speaking a certain way, walking a certain way, thinking and talking another way, I'm running around being him. Like, do we need 100, 200, 300, 400 Pastor Dals? No, actually. We just need one. And I hope that strengthens each of you because we can all walk in the same manner of spirit as our leaders. I don't speak division. I'm speaking support. And that we are one body, you know? And Pastor Dal's not around when you decide to love or you decide to forgive or you decide to argue or you decide to lie. He's not around in your prayer closet when you repent. He's not your Elohim. He's your leader and your shepherd, and he's leading us to the Father. And I've been his daughter, you know, dealt with in the flesh, you'd say harshly, right? But it's all love. That's it, y'all. You know, I was gonna play Goshen song or Goshen hit. But I'm just staring at this screen. Look, let me look through my notes right here. Sakina, bless you. Thank you. I hope you guys can just, you know, if you're edified at all in the conversation, thank you, Father. You know, this in this area where I lack contentment, I've just never repented and said, hey, I'm not satisfied. You know, now what you're doing is not enough. What you're giving me is not enough. And your time frame is not enough. Your will is not enough for me, right? Hallelujah. Let's see. Nope. Nope. Yeah, I just had some scratch notes and some things that I had written. Nothing looks important. Bless y'all. Love y'all. 4 months to pass over. Let's represent the Father, right? Let's represent the Father. And hey, when we don't, we get it right. We get it right. I've said to, you know, a sister in Streamway, Nashville just recently, like, we're all we got for life. You know, I think it might take years for some people to really understand their commitment and their covenant agreement, that we actually aren't here to tear each other down. Like, you're supposed to be by my side and in this family forever. Forever, right? Hallelujah. All praise and thanks to the Most High Yah for Deacon Bell, who's a helper to my faith and sincerely a sole reason why I have an opportunity to make it into the kingdom. He gets so much credit for the way I speak, the things I've lived, and the things I've been through. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for his mercy and humility, his example, and definitely his strength. If y'all just knew how much word was in that man, it would impress you. Because of Yah, not because of him. All glory be unto Yah. Hey, I love y'all. I hope y'all know that. Yah's will. Ain't that what Pastor says? Yah's will be done. We'll be back next week. 4 months, Granny Barb. You know what I brought you, Granny Barb? Chicken and dumplings. I brought you some chicken and dumplings. I made some. I made some for the guests tonight, and I put you aside some. A nice southern dish. Granny Barb is a southern cook, too. We used to cook for each other and share a lot more things when life was a little less, I don't know, a little more hours in the day, I think. I can say that. Hey, I love y'all. Bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Hit it, Sakina, whatever you got for the end. Good night.